Proverbs chapter number 23, verse number 7. Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I want to preach to you this morning about the thoughts of a man's heart. The thoughts of a man's heart. Notice Solomon says, for as he thinketh in his heart, not his mind, but as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The old saying growing up, you are what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How many believe it's important to be careful on what we think? How many believe there's power in what you think? I found this in Psalms this week, and I believe the psalmist shows to us something that I believe is relevant for us this morning. In Psalms 39, verse number 3, as we read it, notice the word musing. It means meditating, thinking. So we put it in that context. In verse number 3, the psalmist says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, while I was thinking, while I was meditating, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Notice what the psalmist is saying. While I was meditating, or while I was thinking, while I was remembering, while I was contemplating in my mind, something started burning in my heart. Or there is that connection between what we think and what we feel. There is that connection that what we think is what we're going to do, our affections. And so the psalmist said, while I was thinking, while I was meditating, my heart started burning or becoming excited about that which I was thinking about. There is power in what you and I think about. This morning, I'd like to, with the help of the Lord, preach to you about the thoughts of a man's heart. May the Lord bless you as you're seated today. It won't just be today, but just for a few weeks anyway. Started last week, really, with David alluded, you remember, in 1 Samuel 27, where I talked about if David would have thought some things differently, we never would have had the 30th chapter to recover all. And I anticipated on talking about some of these things maybe next month, but I just felt the Lord directing my attention in this direction for the next few weeks, because I want to discuss what the Bible has to say about our way of thinking, the battle for the control of our minds. And there is certainly a paradox in Scripture regarding knowledge, because at times there are scriptures that the Bible commends knowledge, and at other times the Bible condemns knowledge. But yet upon closer observation, that which is condemned, or the knowledge that is condemned in Scripture, is thinking that disregards God. It is a lifestyle or a mindset that disregards our need or our dependency upon God. That the minds of this world have been darkened. That carnal mind is at enmity against God. That thinking is condemned. That knowledge is placed in a negative light in Scripture. That worldly wisdom is forbidden, and it's placed negatively by the writers of God's Word. And due to the fact that there are some Scriptures that place knowledge or wisdom in a negative light, it has caused those to go the complete opposite direction and say, well, I don't want carnal wisdom. So the antithesis almost is, I don't want any wisdom at all. But yet the Bible does not promote for us a a position of anti-intellectualism. It does not tell us not to be thinkers. It does not tell us not to be wise people, but it does give to us clear-cut directions on what we should think about and what we should meditate upon. And certainly the Bible commends those that think and contemplate about God's Word. So Christians, I believe, have falsely assumed or sometime have passively allowed a distaste for any knowledge or wisdom. But yet the Scripture, it condemns carnal thinking, but it commends spiritual thinking. The same Bible that warns against humanistic ideas, for in Jeremiah 10 and 2, the Bible says that we should not learn the way of the heathen. The Bible condemns humanistic ideas, but yet the same Bible regards and teaches us that we as believers should seek truth. Matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter number truth, that we should seek, or Proverbs 2, that we should seek truth as one that seeks silver. John chapter number 4 says that we must worship him. How? That we must worship him in spirit and truth. How many believe truth is important? If we do not have truth, we cannot worship God as God commands us to worship. For we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not enough just to put our spirit into it. If that was the case, then anyone that worships with their spirit, regardless of what they worship, would be allowable according to God's word. But that is not the case. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 8 says that we are set free. How? We are set free by truth. Because Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Paul said in Romans 11 and 33 that we should seek the riches both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus said, come unto me and learn of me. That he is wanting us to have a greater knowledge or a greater understanding of the things of God. Matter of fact, God desires to give us wisdom. For in James chapter number 1, the writer said that if anybody lacks what? Lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give it liberally. And I don't know about you today, but I want to be at the front of that line and say, Lord, I want to know everything that you have for my life. But the thoughts of a man's heart. This is where I am at in life, and I don't have any magic formulas, but there's got to be some disconnect between when somebody leaves the house of God with the victory of the Lord, and the next time they come in the house of God, it seems as if they've lost the joy of God and they've lost their walk with God. And I have prayed and asked God, what is the disconnect? What transpires between leaving the house of God and coming back into the house of God? And one of the things that my mind and my heart is always going back to is that some people just allow their minds to be the devil's plague. And if you allow that, friend, I promise you, if you don't control your mind, the devil will use it in his playground. He will take your joy. He will take your peace. He will take contentment and joy. Your life will be filled with fear, discontentment, disillusionment, discouragement, depression. And I don't care what kind of service that you're in, when that service is over and you go back home, you've got to get control of this mind and think on these things, as Paul told the writer of the Philippian church. Amen. So the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 23 and 7 that a man that thinks in his heart, so is he. Or my feet are going to follow what I think about. The psalmist said, while I was musing, while I was meditating, my heart started beating or burning with the things that I were talking about, that I was thinking about. It was Thomas Goodwin that said this, that I read this week. He said that thoughts and affections are the mutual causes of each other, that they feed each other. That thoughts and affections are the mutual causes of each other. When you begin to think about something, your heart begins to burn out. after that. And then when your heart begins to burn after that, your mind begins to wander and to go and to boil over into more territory. And so the psalmist reminds us over and over again that our mind should be stayed upon the Lord. How many believe there is a connection in Scripture that our thoughts and our affections, that they are related and they are entwined? That what we are is what we will do, and what we think is what we become. And so we must win the battle. We've got to maintain control of our mind. Matter of fact, if we just throw out a few ideas, emotions will begin to be aroused. This week, have you heard the story of the homeless man in Columbus, Ohio? Ted Williams, with that resonating baritone voice, that overnight sensation that just a few days ago was seemingly a homeless man, but yet through the gift of his voice now is a national icon. You may not know that story, but you will before long. And so it is, when you hear that story and you begin to think about that, well, emotions of joy for him and emotions of redemption and emotions of hopefulness seem to dwell up in our life. But then when we pick up the newspaper and we read about a shooting in Arizona as of yesterday, and a congresswoman and others, the congresswoman was shot, but the others that lost their life, and we realize that it was an unnecessary tragedy, emotions in our hearts starts crying out for justice and sadness for that family, because that is what our mind begins to dwell upon. I think that's why it's easy for a newborn Christian to walk in the joy of God, because when they get saved, all they can ponder and all they think about is what God has done in their life and the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. That's why it seems like they're always bubbling, because all they can think about, I'm saved. They get up every day and it's new thoughts, it's new ideas. They pick up the word of God and it's new scriptures, it's new revelations, it's new words, it's new terminology, it's a new heart, it's a new heaven, it's a new joy. And so there is just bubbling out of their heart of the things of God, because their mind is stayed upon God. I don't know about you, but I say, oh God, amen, I want my mind stayed on the things of God. Amen. If you haven't realized it before, you will now. The devil wants the access to your mind. The devil wants the mind control. He wants to place salt and fiery darts of the wicked. But as for me and you today, amen, I say, oh God, train me better. Let me be stayed in the word of God. Let me think concerning the word of God. I want your joy. I want your peace. I want your contentment. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care where you were raised. I don't care the environment that you were raised in. I don't care whether it was aggressive or passive. I don't care whether it was positive or negative. At some point in your life, you've got to get to that place to where you realize that what you are and what you're going to do is what you're feeding your mind. And you've got to take the responsibility. You've got to take the authority in Jesus Christ. And Paul said that God wants to sanctify us in spirit, yes, in soul, yes, but in body. I said he wants our minds to be sanctified and think godly thoughts and to think thoughts that are set upon heaven. And so as I preach this morning, amen, let's step into the Old Testament. One of the greatest characters, we know him as Elijah and a great man. But in the 19th chapter, he receives a verdict. He receives a message that his life is in danger, that Jezebel is going to kill him, and he begins to ponder upon that thought. I don't know what you would do if somebody said they were out to kill you. Probably most of us, we don't do anything important enough to risk our life. But for the fact of the matter is, Elijah's life was in danger, and he began to contemplate it. It began to roll over in his mind, and I want you to see a man that called fire down from heaven, a man that saw the dead live again, a man that was used of God, but he allowed his mind to begin to wander, and here is the result. In the third verse of the 19th chapter, he feels hopeless, for the Bible says that when he begins to see what he thinks is going to happen, he goes for his life. He retreats into Beersheba. He feels hopeless. He becomes fearful. He thinks his life is in danger. He is hopeless. He is fearful. He feels worthless. For the Bible says, he says, I'm not any better than my fathers. Just take away my life. I am worthless. He is lonely. For the Bible says that he leaves his assistant and he goes another day's journey. He doesn't want to be around anybody. He just wants to be all by himself, and he is lonely. Matter of fact, he told God, I'm the only one that has not bowed a knee to Baal. I am all by myself. Not only that, he is completely depressed, and he becomes suicidal. A man that called fire down from heaven, a man that saw the dead live again, but yet because he allows his mind to wander, he becomes hopeless, fearful, depressed, lonely, and worthless, and even suicidal. He wants to die. You say, that'll never happen to me. I'm telling you, friend, you better thank God then. You better thank God then. But if there's anybody in this building that the devil is trying to get your mind so distracted and so discombobulated, amen, so many writers have compared our minds to a garden. Well, let me ask you this morning, your thoughts out of your mind. Is it a garden of flowers or is it a garden of weeds? Is there the flower of God's joy, the flower of God's peace, the flower of the presence of God, or are there the weeds of discontentment, the weeds of jealousy, and the weeds of envy, and the weeds of carnality? I'll tell you what I would do if there were weeds in the garden of my mind. I would take a stroll through the grace of God. I'd begin to pull those weeds by the root. I'd begin to fertilize the flower of the garden of my mind and say, I am a child of God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Christ died on Calvary. Amen. The only thing that's valuable in me is the blood of Jesus Christ. But I was worth enough that Christ went to the cross and he died on Calvary that I might be saved in the newness of life. And the devil may not like it, but my name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. I said, I've been saved and washed. I've got an elder brother by the name of Jesus Christ. I've got a soon coming King of glory. I've got a ticket purchased and a reservation made in one of those mansions in heaven. And if the devil kills me today, I'm going to wake up in glory. I said, if I lose my life today, I'm not dead. I'm rising to meet the Lord in the air. I said, you got to talk back to yourself. You've got to take authority in the name of Jesus. I believe the New Testament teaches us that we should. Let me give to you some scriptures. You can jot them down if you like and read them later. It's your own Bible study. But in Matthew 22 and 37, here's what Jesus says. Thou shalt love. Everybody knows what love means, right? Everybody know what love means? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. You ready for this last part? And with all thy... You didn't even want to say it, did you? I mean, I don't know how. I got a big head, so I got a big brain. I got a big mind. Your mind might be a little smaller than mine, but I want every ounce of it. Amen. I want it to love the Lord my God. He said, love the Lord with all thy mind. It was a thinking through. It was a meditation. It was an all-encompassing knowledge. That's why the psalmist said in 119 and 97, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. As I said, James 1 and 5 says, if we lack wisdom, what do we do about it? Well, I just wasn't blessed. I just hid behind the door when God was passing all that out. I just don't have any knowledge. I don't have any wisdom. What do you do? I tell you what you do. You go to God in prayer and you say, God, I've got to have your wisdom. And the Bible said that God will give wisdom. Proverbs 3:13 says, happy is the man that finds wisdom. I said, happy is the man. But Matthew 22 and 37, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy mind. It is a picture of a devoted mind, that my mind is stayed upon the Lord. Amen. I got news for you right now. Amen. There's some weeds that don't have room to grow. If God's got your whole mind, I said, now I'm not like that old song, Holy Ghost got my mind, Lord, my mind is gone. That song never did a thing for me. I don't care for that kind of song. That's not what I'm talking about. Holy Ghost got my mind, Lord, my mind is gone. Amen. That didn't do anything for me. I've got my mind today, and I want it stayed upon the Lord. But I know the devil is going to try to interfere. The devil is going to try to shoot arrows of doubt, arrows of fear. He's going to put wayward thoughts in my mind. And if I let it go unchecked, what's going to happen? How many gardeners, if you see weeds on Monday, what's going to be there on Tuesday? What's going to be there a week or two from now? Are those weeds just going to randomly disappear? My father-in-law was so busy this last year, he didn't have time to work in his garden. And if you looked at that half acre or whatever it is, you have no idea that it's a garden. You'd have no idea that that garden has produced over the years. But just left unchecked one year, it is a mass of every kind of wild thing that grows in central Illinois. Because it's been unchecked, unguarded. I don't think the Lord loves me. I don't think anybody cares about me. I don't think anybody understands what I'm going through. Can I talk about some of these weeds? I don't have anything that I can offer the Lord. I don't even know if God wants to use my life. I've probably done too much to even be saved. The devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. I said, the weeds are growing. It is the picture of a devoted mind. But look what Philippians 2 and 5 says. It is the practice of a dedicated mind. Let this mind be in you, which was what? Also in Christ Jesus. How many want your mind to think like the mind of Christ? What mind was the writer talking about the verse earlier? Let nothing be done to strive for vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Be like-minded, having love one to another, being of one accord and of one mind. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. It is the practice of a dedicated mind. It's not an adjective or a noun, but it's a verb in the original language. To be mindful of, to think in a certain way. G.D. Tucker, an old professor that I had in college, said this question
And I probably have told you before, but I want to insert it right here. One day in class, he stopped and he said, I want to ask you, what do you think about when you're not trying to think about anything? I thought. I looked at him like you're looking at me. What do you think about? He said, over the next few days, just randomly, when you find yourself not really thinking purposely about anything, discover, what are you thinking about? I would dare say that 72-hour window of when Sunday night closes to when Wednesday night church starts, there's a lot of people that allow their minds to begin to think and ponder and to go places that are completely contrary to the Word and the will of God. And all of a sudden, where's my joy? Where's my peace? Where's that contentment in the Lord? Well, we're feeding things on our mind. Even the news is geared and based upon fear. The news cycle, it's based to generate fear. It drives the needle. It moves the ratings. It affixes us to feel like we've got to have this to know what's going on. I don't need to be in the know every moment of every day. I don't have to. My joy should not be dependent upon what the Fox News top of the hour newscast is. Amen. I don't need to click on CNN to find out if it's a good day to give joy to God. Amen. I don't have to wonder what the morning news is going to say before I wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm watching the people of God become so entwined in the carnal news cycle of this world. I got news for you. It's all going to wind up. It's going to end in war. I said it's going to end in Armageddon. But before that gets here, there's going to be a trumpet sound. I said it's going to raise the dead and the church is going to be raptured, and that's what I've got to get ready for. You're not taking your house with you. You're not taking your retirement account with you. You're not taking any of it with you. So if that's all your mind thinks about, cut it loose now. You're not taking that car. You're not taking those antiques. You're not taking any of it with you. The only thing you might take is your family. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Oh, over the next couple of weeks, I'd like for the Lord to get in our mind. Oh, place His Word there. For 1 Peter 1 and 13 is the pursuit of a disciplined mind. He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Keep things together. Keep things together. Keep it tucked in. Gird up the loins of your mind. You know what we're doing? We're just giving the devil a free pass. Anybody, come here, Brother Robbie, and somebody says, Brother Greg and Brother Mark, Brother Jeremy, just come up with a carnal thought. I don't care. It may not be hard for you. I hope it is. But if this is my mind right here, we just allow anything. We just allow it. Brother Robbie, what are you going to try to get into my mind? Don't act so spiritual. Sister Shannon, help me out.
Cars.
All you want me to think about is cars.
Luxury cars.
All right. Mercedes 500 SL is my favorite. Yeah, I thought so. Come on. He's car. All he wants to think about is cars. Working too much. Just working. Got to get some more money.
Keeping up with the neighbors.
Let's go fishing. Got a bass boat. What size are we getting? Nothing wrong. Anything wrong with having a car? Boy, you act way too spiritual right now. Ain't nobody walked their horse and buggy here today. Yours might be like mine and 180,000 miles with two cracks in the window, but it's rolling. Anything wrong with working? You were keeping up? Now this might be a problem right here. Anything wrong with going fishing? No, I went. How many times did we go last year? Twice? Once? Nothing wrong with it. We caught 70-some in one day. That's enough for one year. Nothing wrong with even having a boat. Unless it's that little John boat he's got that's dangerous. Go out on the ocean in a 12-foot John boat. That's crazy. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. But wait a minute. If that's all that's in my mind, and I'm trying to get my mind on God, and all I can hear is this bass boat out there saying, take me to the lake, take me to the lake, take me to the lake. And all I can hear my job say, you got to work till 6, got to work till 7, work till 9. Now, don't worry about midweek, we'll pay you double time. All I can hear is that in my mind. At some point in time, I've got to gird up the loins of my mind. I've got to only let some things in here that I can handle. And I say, all right, I don't need that Mercedes. I need to work. I don't need to keep up with anybody else. And you know what? I'm 40 and I had a boat for a little while and I can do without it. I'll keep working now and I'll get that in line. But all of a sudden, I've got a whole lot more room to think about the joy of God and the peace of God and the power of God. I've got more time now to read God's word. I've got more time to go to church. I've got more time to be spiritual and go to the house of God. Gird up the loins of your mind. You're not coming in. When that thought comes, nobody cares about you. That's not coming in. Some of the most dangerous words, if somebody comes up to you and they say something like this, I've been thinking, oh, wow. Thinking is a great thing if you're solving problems, but what happens? I've been thinking, and they've allowed their mind to go and to race and get so uncontrolled that it's like a wild stallion galloping. And then we come back into church. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And oh, we got all that going on. Just bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. And when somebody says, give us a praise for the Lord, I can't think anything. I can't think. All I can think about is that car. All I can think about is that boat. All I can think about is that job. All I can think, that's all I got. Gird up the loins of your mind. It is the pursuit of a disciplined mind. Finally, Colossians 3:2. Notice this. Set your affections on things. I didn't hear you. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. The same Greek word for affections is the same word other places used as mind. Set your mind on things above. It is the priority of a determined mind. I'm going to set my mind, because if I set my mind there, I'm setting my affections. The psalmist said, while I was meditating, my heart burned. While I got to thinking about the Lord. Amen. Let's see if we can do it right now. I know it's Sunday morning and it's noon and it's not a good time for a testimony service, but I want you to clear your mind of every job responsibility responsibility, every bolt, everything you got to do. And for the next 30 seconds or so, I just want you to think about where God saved you, where God brought you from. I just want you right now to start thinking things about the goodness of God. What about Christ dying on Calvary? What about the blood absolving my sins? What about that night you walked to the altar? Amen. What about that day that you gave your heart over to the Lord? What about what it felt like for those sins to roll away and to know that your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? I dare you. You can't start thinking about Christ that you don't get excited. You can't start thinking things about the Savior without wanting to worship Him and magnify the name of the Lord. So why don't we? There's a Philippian filter, 4 and 8 of Philippians we'll get to. But why don't we keep our mind stayed on thee? The faults of a man's heart. How many would be honest with me and say the devil has tried just to get you to waste energy and time by getting your mind distracted? You say, Lord, I today, from this day forward, Lord, I want to take more authority in my mind. My mind is mine. It's under the blood. The devil is a liar. And I'm going in the name of Jesus. I'm going to resist the devil. How many remember the Bible says submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil? How many has ever seen the devil? I think I pastored him once, but I've never seen the devil. How many has ever seen a devil with horns? I've never, never, never. Have you? I've never seen the devil. So what did the Bible say? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. What did it mean? It means that when he tries to come in and disrupt my mindset, to put wayward, carnal, divisive thoughts between me and my Savior, I'm taking authority. I'm taking authority. The preacher can't do it for you. The Sunday school teacher can't do it for you. Your husband, your wife can do it for you. You say you're trying to be a psychiatrist? Absolutely not. I've tried to stay in the book this morning, and I've tried to preach the commands of the Word of God. And I challenge you, do a Google search, use Blue Letter Bible, use old-fashioned concordance, but you start looking up what God said to think about, what not to think upon. Look up scriptures about mind, what God wants us to think. You talking about mind over matter? Absolutely not. But I am telling you this, that we ought to have victory right here. We ought to think good things. We ought to think things of joy and peace. My mind is not the devil's playground. I said my mind, it is not something the devil should take authority over. But when Christ died on Calvary, he died to save me. I said he died to redeem me and to sanctify me in spirit, in soul, and in body. I said it's my mind. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to think suicidal thoughts. I'm not going to think depressive thoughts. I'm not going to think thoughts of loneliness and despair. I'm not going to think thoughts of doom and gloom. I'm not going to do it. I take authority in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. I take authority. The devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A man's thoughts. So this morning, the old song came to me. You can stand with me. The old song we sing out of the book. Victory in Jesus. I sat down in my office chair this morning, got out the old red hymnal, and said, Lord, what's the song? What am I trying to preach about? I heard an old story about a Savior who came from glory. I'm going to tell you something right here, right now. Without apology and without hesitation, the mind of a child of God should be different than the mind of an unbeliever. I said the mind of a child of God ought to be different than the mind of an unbeliever. I'm not going to ask you if the devil's tried, because I know he has. I'm not going to ask you if the devil succeeded, because he probably has put thoughts in all of our minds. I'm simply asking you today, would you like to the Lord help you? Would you like for the Lord to help you to gird up the loins of your mind, to think stronger thoughts about God, less thoughts about this world, and more about God?